John the Revelator saw the glorious Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And he also said in the 22nd chapter, he said, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, crystal clear, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded the fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Verse 4, "And they shall see his face." Amen. All because of God's amazing grace, we shall see his face. We believe that salvation is wholly of grace. It's not of any works of righteousness which we do, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We experience grace, or say by grace. By grace through faith you're saved, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm thankful that I've experienced God's amazing work of grace in my life. I wonder if somebody has something on your heart today before we pray and reverence the Lord. Anything on your heart today? I want to read again a few passages of Scripture taken from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. These verses are very important verses for the church. Bible warns us, Jesus did on several occasions, he warned us about perilous times. I mean, even the Apostle Paul warned us that in the last days, well, the Spirit speaks expressly. I quoted that verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. That the Spirit has made it very clear that in these last times, that there would be those that would turn away from the faith, that would depart from the faith, that give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. There are a lot of evil influences in the world. We're living in perilous times, and we are warned over and over again. I mean, I've quoted that verse from Matthew 24:24, where it talks about, you know, that even that Jesus warned us there'd be times that it would even be so, the intensity of the spirit of error would be so intense that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, I mean, we are to be geared up and ready for some very difficult and dangerous times. The beast, the false prophets, I mean, those that take the number of the beast, I mean, there's those frogs that are belched out of the abyss that are full of evil spirits that go across the globe deceiving folks. We're living in those kind of days. And we need to be able to detect the dangers that are before us. We need to be able to identify the Spirit of God versus the spirit of error. And we are given in Scripture a clear way of defining and also identifying those true spirits of God. Even in John's day, I mean, he talked about the spirit of the Antichrist already being present. The spirit of the Antichrist, Paul did in the book of Thessalonians, being present. And we know that the early church dealt with Gnosticism, and they had this weird idea about Jesus that he became deity at his baptism and before his crucifixion. That deity left. That's not so. He was divine in his mother's womb. He was divine on the cross. He was divine in the grave. And he divinely resurrected on the third day. And our divine Savior is at the right hand of the Father today. Amen. Ascended on high. But these false teachings and false doctrines, we live in a day that's just so full of false teaching and false doctrines. We need to be able to identify. And actually the intensity of the spirit of error is so great that it ought to alarm us. We ought to be cautious and concerned. We can be vulnerable and gullible to some of these false spirits if we're not careful. I mean, there have been churches in my lifetime that I have seen depart the faith. I've seen churches turn to false doctrine. Churches that at one time were sound churches.
I mean, they were Bible churches. They preached the scriptures. They had the Holy Ghost in them. But now they are no longer founded on the apostles and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what kind of spirit's in those churches, but it's not the Spirit of the Lord. One of the great Baptists of all times was a man by the name of John Leland. He's actually was very instrumental in making sure that we had the Bill of Rights in this country. But there was a great evangelist, so-called great evangelist, that was sweeping the country and deceiving folks. And he said he was a Baptist. And somebody asked him about D.L. Moody one time. And John Leland said, "He doesn't hear the voice of my master." Being able to identify false teaching, false preaching, and false doctrine is very important to us. Being able to know the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. And in this passage, we are told to stop following every spirit that says it's from God. Because not everyone who says they're of the Lord is really of the Lord. And we need to be able to put it to the test. And these passages serve as a laboratory where we can test to see if it's really from God. Actually, in that first verse where it talks about being of God, it's an abbreviation of being born from God. It has to be birthed from God. It has come from God. It has come down from heaven. Our doctrines, our teaching, our practices need to come down from heaven. They're not of this world. No, they're of the heavenly world. And I'm thankful for the power that comes down from the heavenly world. Amen. Yeah, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. We've experienced these spiritual things that come down from on high. I hope today that you've been born from above. Listen, if your salvation is not based upon something that occurred because of Jesus and the cross and His resurrection and the Holy Spirit, it's not from God. Listen, if your experience with God is not based upon the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, it's not a true God. It's not a true salvation. Amen? And so I tried to point out, mine was based upon the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He washed away my sins. Let me know that I was forgiven of sin. I knew that my sins had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, you need a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you believe in Jesus Christ with all of your heart, the Holy Spirit will come in. All right, so we looked at this laboratory where we can go and we can find out if things are really from God. And I believe it's important for us to test our gospel, to examine our salvation and make sure it's in the Bible. What you have needs to be able to align and parallel and identify with thus saith the Lord. I believe all of our doctrines need to be founded on the Bible. And upon the apostles and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. All right. So we're told in these verses, and I want to read them. I may mess up a little bit because I've worn this page out. And a piece of it's missing from my Bible. So I've got to go by memory reading it. But these are, most of us are familiar with these passages of Scripture. Why? Why are they so important to us? Why have they been lodged in our mind and our heart? Because God has imprinted it upon our souls that we might know that this is important for us to do in the examination of all the spiritual things that come into our lives. Not all of them are from God. We need to be able to identify them. Okay, so this is a laboratory to find the spirit of truth. I've already given you several things, seven or so things, that I have discovered in these verses. I've already discussed extensively about these things being from the divine Lord, originating from the Lord. I want to talk to you just a little bit about it, also paralleling and being in cooperation with the divine life that is within us. The divine life that is within us. We'll also notice in these reading lessons that those true spirits from God, you can identify them with divine leadership. Listen, folks, if your doctrine doesn't align with the apostles, then it's not the true church of Jesus Christ. Okay? I have no problem identifying my doctrines with the apostles. I believe the apostles were first put in the church. The Bible says, Paul did, that they are a foundation with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. We're built upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. I'm following the Lord, and I'm going to follow Paul, and I'm going to follow Peter, and I'm going to follow John. I'm okay with that, aren't you? That's right. I'm going to fall right in line with the apostles. They were ordained to teach us and structure the church. The early church, when they got saved, the 3,000, they got saved. They were steadfast in what? The apostles' doctrine. I'm all right with that. And in these passages, I mean, he just says, look, if it doesn't line up with what we've been teaching as apostles, don't believe it. It's of the world and it's not from God. So the New Testament gives us the teachings of the apostles, and it's important for us to be aligned with those teachings. So we have this divine link with the apostles and with the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is built on Jesus. Hello? He said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we know that he sent the apostles into the world, and he ordained them. Amen. He authorized them. They were accredited. Their words, their teachings were accredited with great signs and wonders. Praise God. And people, we need to listen to the teaching of the New Testament and obey it. Obey it. Yeah, it's just that simple. So, we have this warning and we have all these different influences. But we also have some things to help us. Well, we can understand what the spirit of truth is versus the spirit of error. There's this divine language. These things come down from heaven. They're not from this world. Listen, if the ideologies, the philosophies, and the theologies that you adhere to come from a man, if they came from the world, they're not from God. Too many churches are being shaped by the ideologies and the philosophies and the ideas and the thoughts and the opinions of the world. Listen, folks, we are not of this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're from heaven, amen. The work that we're doing has been authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. We have the empowering of the Holy Ghost, and God is with us, and we are of God. Amen. Good stuff. Anyway, so we're vulnerable at times, but we have these systems in place, these mechanisms in place. We can determine whether it's from the divine Lord, whether it agrees with the divine life, whether there's a divine link to the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, whether we align with the divine leadership. You know, there's a lot of churches, they've ordained new apostles to follow. That we have people that go around and say they have new inspiration. People, there's no new inspiration. This is the divine inspiration, the Word of God. The apostles were given divine inspiration. We are to obey them. We're to listen to them. Our teaching and our doctrines are to align with them. There should be a divine link with them. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching of the apostles of God. Amen. And the church needs to do the same. All right, so we've got the divine Lord, the divine life, the divine link, divine language, divine leadership, which is divine inspiration that was given to the apostles. We have divine limits outside the guidelines of heavenly things. We've got to be careful that we don't bring worldly things into the church. We've got the divine love that he mentions in the latter part of this chapter also. All the truth of God, the true spirit of God always fits perfectly in the divine laws of God. There's a complete harmony of the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a harmony between the Lord Jesus Christ and Adam created in the Garden of Eden. All of it's in sync. It fits perfectly. Listen, folks, if you start believing some kind of prophecy or some kind of doctrine, some kind of teaching that doesn't align and doesn't harmonize with the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you need to be sure that it's from God, because there's a lot of doctrines and teachings of men that do not harmonize with the Bible. And I believe doctrine that comes down from heaven harmonizes with His Word. Yes, it does. All right, so let's read these verses. Beloved, stop believing. Don't believe. Believe not every spirit. I remember Brother Perrigo, he said, we're living in a day where people, let's see if I can quote him right. We live in a day where people loosely use the word, the Lord is leading me. Loosely use the phrase, the Lord is leading me. I'll never forget the first time I told somebody, no, he's not. They're like, what? As though I couldn't challenge them. Yes, you can challenge them. The Lord doesn't lead contrary to His Word. Okay? You. Now, I want us to notice something in here. There's great emphasis on individual responsibility. You need to determine for yourself. The problem is, most people don't have the internal apparatus to determine whether or not something is really from God. And without that missing element, or with that missing element, without having that missing element, you're going to go farther and farther into error. All right, so let's read. Blood, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, I talked about last week about how vulnerable we can become. Times of depression, times of discouragement, like Elijah and John the Baptist. There are times where we go through difficulty and we're very vulnerable and gullible to those things. We need to be very careful that we don't become influenced by the wrong spirit in our lives. First of all, he says it needs to come, first of all, in acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Lordship salvation and Lordship doctrine and Lordship church is very important to us. We believe that He is the head. Now, I said that this come in the flesh, I believe it embodies all that He did and all that He is. His incarnation, His life, His teaching, His kingdom, the establishing of His church, the death on the cross, His resurrection, His ascension, Him at the right hand of the Father. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If any man comes to the Father, he must come through me. Amen? And so we see that Jesus is the way, and He is the truth, and He is the life. The Spirit of truth has come. He said He'd send the Holy Ghost to help us and aid us and empower us, give us discernment. Listen, we need to be very careful that we do not conform our lives to the whims and the words of men. We need to make sure that these things come from Christ. I believe Jesus is still head of the church. Yeah, I sure do. I believe a wrong spirit and the spirit of error comes from the source of the Antichrist. Something Antichrist is from the source, not from Christ. Okay? So we need to identify the source. We need to make sure the source is the Lord. You need to make sure that your salvation is from the Lord. If you're called to preach, you need to make sure it's from the Lord. Not from mama or daddy or, you know, desires of the flesh. You need to make sure it's of the Lord. There's things that go on in the Lord's church where the Lord is still in control of. He is ascended on high and He is alive. And the church has a living Lord and a living Savior. Yeah, our head's alive. He's still the brains of this operation. He needs to be in charge of our lives, in control of our lives. All right, so, but there's an individual responsibility. You need to make sure that what you have is from the Lord and not something that's not from the Lord. Are you with me? All right, so he says you need to make sure it's founded in Christ. There's a lot of false religions that are not founded upon the deity of Christ, not founded upon the mercies of Christ, not founded upon the atonement of Christ, not founded on the resurrection of Christ, they're not founded upon the ascension of Christ, not founded upon His kingdom and His church. Listen, folks, we need to make sure that what we have comes from Jesus. That's important. If it's not from Jesus, not through what He did, aren't you glad you can look at your salvation and know that it's in Christ? I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. It's not through anything that I have done. It's because He offered Himself as atonement for me. He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. He took the curse for me. And that's why I'm saved. I'm glad that when I look at my salvation, I know my salvation is in what Jesus did. It's not in what this church does. It's not in what I have done. It's not in what my parents have done. It's what Jesus did for me that makes me a Christian. I'm glad it's that way. All right, so he says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, is not of, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now, everybody say now, it's here. I mean, in John's day, he says it's here. It's already in the world. Now, there's a lot of professing Christianity. There's a lot of professing Christianity that's Antichrist. That's what he's saying. That spirit is now in the world. You can read more about that in Thessalonians. But notice the next verse. Here's my point. All right, this is the divine life. Ye are of God. Now we've got to keep in mind the intensity. We've forgotten. We have forgotten the intensity of the statements that have been made for us to beware. Be warned. Many false prophets have gone in the world, Jesus said. Paul, leaving from Ephesus in the 20th chapter of Acts, said, gathered all the elders together and said, I'm fearful, I'm afraid that when I depart, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There was a warning, there was a concern. And listen, we need to always be concerned about these things influencing us. Always. Man, I tell you what, it's like we become pharisaical. Like we're untouchable. Like we're undeceivable. Come on now. That's pride, people. That's what that is. Pride goeth before what? The fall. That's right. That's what the Bible says. Pride goeth before the fall. And so he's talking about this intensity. He's talking about the outpouring of the Antichrist. He's talking about the demon spirits and the doctrines of devils and these seducing spirits coming at the church full force. And he says, but you're of God. Do you realize the only thing that keeps us and preserves us is that we're of God? You really think we can protect ourselves from the devil? Really? No. He said, but you're of God. Notice this verse. This is powerful. You're of God, little children, and you've overcome them. See, there's something in us that enables us to overcome those erring spirits. What is it, John, that we have within us that can overcome those evil spirits that are lurking to destroy us and the church? Notice what he says. Because, what does he say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right. I'm talking about the divine life. The divine life within us. Understanding our vulnerability. Understanding how gullible we are at times. Understanding that we need not only individual responsibility, but we need an internal reality. We need a spiritual life in us, an apparatus that comes from God to help us and to govern us, to be our compass as we go through the perilous times of the church. And we might be able to identify the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. Listen, folks. If you don't have a witness in you, now notice what John says. Look in the 5th chapter of 1 John, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. John was constantly telling us about an internal witness. I know sometimes, or most of the time, we hear these sermons preached from these passages, and it's only about the witness that lets us know we're saved. But it's also the witness in us that sanctifies us, helps us, and governs us in life. He talks about having an anointing from the Lord, being anointed, having a holy unction that guides us and helps us and preserves us. Listen, folks, if we lose the anointing and the internal compass that lets us know what is true and what is false, we're in dire straits. We're in trouble. We're very troubled. And so he said, look, you're of God. Praise God. You're of God. And you got something in you. Something in you. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. I know this is kind of an odd verse, but I just want to point this out. A lot of the Camelites use this verse saying that salvation's in baptism. But he's talking about Noah and his family in the ark. And the water separated him from the old world. Brought him into the new. Separated him from the sinful, evil world, saved him. The water saved him from that sinful environment that he was in, he and his family. And he says in verse 21, he says, "And baptism doth also now save us, in the same way that Noah was saved." And he says, "Not the putting away the filth of the flesh." In other words, the water baptism doesn't wash away sin. Okay? Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's something, it's a witness in you that when you follow the Lord in baptism, that you're doing the right thing. I'm talking about the evidence, the witness inside you, where you do things for the Lord and you step back and say, "That was of the Lord. God was in that. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm following those apostles." You know, Paul talked about that on several occasions in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. He says, "If anybody thinks themselves to be a prophet or spiritual, what do they need to do? Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Do you realize that the early church was required to obey the apostles? Obey the teachings of God's word by the apostles? Notice this next verse. "They are of the world, therefore they speak those things that are of the world." Look at verse 6. "We are of God." We got the ye and we blend. Okay? The ye and we. You're of God? You've got an internal evidence. We are of God because we are the apostles that have been ordained. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If your doctrines and your teachings, your prophecy, your spirituality doesn't align with the teachings of the apostles, it's not from God. Paul even said that in the Corinthian church. He said, "Look, folks, all this prophesying and spiritual things, and you say this is of God and that's of God." And I tell you, Paul put the smackdown on them in the 14th chapter of Corinthians. Y'all ever read that? They were so out of control. You know what he said? Have y'all read it? Have y'all read that? And he got to the point, he said, "I don't even want your women talking in church." And they had to obey the apostle. Things were getting out of control. And he said, "Look, things need to be done decently and in order. We're in the house of God. I believe things need to be done decently in order in the house of God." Do you realize the message that Jesus preached when he was angry? Where it was prophesied, where he'd say that the zeal of thine house has eaten him up, is when he found the tables of money changers in the house of God, and he went in there and preached. Who said you can't preach a message angry? Jesus did. He went in there angry. He overturned those tables. He said, "You have taken this house of prayer, my Father's house, and turned it into a den of thieves." I remember I worked with a guy one time and he said, that's when Jesus sinned. He didn't sin. No, he had righteous indignation. He had righteous indignation. He was jealous over the house of God. Those things didn't belong there. He was angry that they were in the house of God. And he preached a message in anger. Paul did that time or two with Corinthians. He's a little upset with them. They were out of control. And he said, "You need to make sure if you're a prophet or you're spiritual, you're saying this or that, that what you're doing aligns with the things that I have spoken, things I have written, because these are the commandments of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 17, "Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ." Don't forget the teaching of the apostles. Listen, the framework of the church is not only Jesus, but also the apostles. We've got scripture after scripture that tells us those things. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. "Be mindful of the words which were spoken of the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior." So we've got a we and a ye blend. You've got ye are of God. In verse 4 and verse 6, you got, "And we are of God. There's perfect alignment. There's perfect agreement. The spirituality, the things that happen in church need to be line upon line and precept upon precept. Like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, we need to prove all things. Prove all things. So you're of God. And they need to if you're of God, then our lives need to correspond with the things of God. All right. You're of God. Well, we're born of God, aren't we? We're taught of God. We're in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Yes. We've been born into His kingdom. We've been chosen of God. We've been called of God. We've been strengthened of God. We've received a new heart and a new spirit. Listen, if something new didn't come into you when you got saved that made you want to live for the Lord and serve the Lord and follow the Lord and follow the apostles, then you need to be saved. Need to be saved. So there's a new life that comes in us. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the new covenant. The new covenant is He would write His laws upon our hearts. No, He'd write His laws in our hearts. You can write something on an oak tree. You can't write anything in an oak tree. Only God can do that. Okay? But this is the new covenant that He would make with His people. He said He'd take out the stony heart. Okay, the hard heartness. Put a heart of flesh. And He would put something in us that would cause us to want to. Put a desire in us to serve God, to follow the precepts and principles of God's holy word. Do you have that in you? Was there a new life that came in you when you got saved that wasn't there before? Huh? New step, new walk, new desire. Yeah. I mean, He puts something in us where we want to live in agreement with the work of grace. There are several verses I was going to go to. Maybe you'll get a chance to read these later. Colossians 3 and 10, Ephesians 4 and 24, and Romans 13 and 14, where it talks about putting on the new man. In other words, live on the outside with your life and your actions. May they be in agreement with the grace and the work of grace that has taken place in your soul. Putting on the new man, which God has created in holiness and in righteousness, Paul said. In holiness and right. God has created that in you, where you desire to walk with the Lord. It's a creation into His image and into His likeness that develops in our soul. All right, so there's a life in us. We're of God. We're subjects of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We each one have a personal, individual responsibility. We've got an internal reality. We've got the yeas. We're of God. And we agree with the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the New Testament church needs to align with the New Testament. Our salvation, our doctrines, our way. We're of Him. We're of His kingdom. We're people of the Bible. Right? We're people that follow the Scriptures. We have something in us that guides us and directs us. The church is strengthened by grace. We're given the grit to move forward because God is in us. There's something in us that enables us to detect the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It pulls us toward the truth of God's Word, where we can look at God's Word and say, this is right, this is wrong, this is the spirit of truth, this is the spirit of error. A mechanism, an apparatus. What is that? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen? In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul said, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you're none of His. Isn't that what he said? If it's not in you, there's something in us. And he says, folks, you've been saved. You're of God. There's something in you that helps you to understand the Spirit of truth. It will always draw you and pull you and push you toward Scripture, toward the apostles, toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be in complete harmony with the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's just something that'll ring in your soul like a bell will go off. I can't explain it to you. You just got to have it and experience it for yourself to let you know. Ye and the we's, us and the apostles, in full agreement. I'm thankful to be a member of the Lord's church. Amen. I have no problem being built upon the apostles, their teachings, their signs, their wonders, their divine inspiration with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. No problem with that at all. I want Jesus to be the head of the church.
He's the founder and the head. Listen, we've got a sure foundation and we've got a divine, wise master builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's in charge of all these things. Praise God, our souls will always align with Him when we're saved, when we're of God. You're of God. Well, the question is, give a song, Aaron. Are you really of God? You know what? Here's the scary thing. People are, when you read about the beast, the false prophet, when you read about the number 666, which is a number of a man, versus those who have the name of God in their forehead, when you read about all those things in the book of Revelation, the scary thing, it's scary. How vulnerable our world is to the demonic forces. It's scary. I mean, just look at the Middle East. If you don't think it's, if they're not vulnerable to those things. Rising up against Christianity. Listen, folks, one of these days it'll reach our shores. And you better be ready. If it hasn't already. Man, we need to be able to identify what's right and what's wrong. Spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. But in this vulnerable, deceptive time, listen, folks, children, listen to me. Being saved will make a big difference. It may be the only thing that makes a difference that keeps you from being sucked in to the world. And the god of this world, the devil. It may be the only thing that preserves us in perilous times. That thing that's in us. That thing that's in us. That is not of this world, but is from God. That thing that's in us that enables us to be overcomers in the last days. Because greater is He that is in you than anything. And all the forces and furies of the devil in the world, they're no match for what's in you. Because God is with you and ye are of God. Amen. Let's stand. If you need to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. When you get saved, you want to follow the Lord in baptism. Remember that Ethiopian eunuch? He was driving down that chariot. Something got in him. He says, here's water. What hindereth me to be baptized? Man, he just knew that was the next thing he needed to do. And I think Philip's like, how do you know that you need to do this? You realize there are things that have to be taught to you from God? Paul said in Thessalonians, he says, there's no need that I write to you about the love of God because ye are taught it from God. Ye yourselves are taught it from God. That's what he says. Ye yourselves are taught it from God. There are things that have to be directly from God in your heart and life. And that internal. And you know that internal thing that's within you. It's reliable when it's from God in the lines of Scripture. You can trust it to be true. Let's sing a verse, some songs. Anybody here lost, need to be saved. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me this morning. Take everything into the laboratory of truth. Find out if it's the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Examine it by God's Word, by whether it's from the Lord. Make sure it aligns with stuff on the inside. Hey, make sure it lines up with the apostles and the teaching of Scripture. Make sure it lines up with the love of God. He later talks about the love of God in that passage. God is love. It'll be things about love. Does it align with, I was going to use a test case, but I didn't get to it. But does it align with what came into you? What came into you when you got saved? Peace? The love of God was shed abroad in your heart? Does it line up with peace and love?